Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. I'm Travis Hines, joined as always by the esteemed Randy Peterson, who broke some of his own news, at least to the world, on Sunday. Which, Randy, we don't need to get into your impending retirement, but congratulations, and it was a very nice story that Thomas wrote about you. But I think we're going to have a lot to do here before all said and done with the way Iowa State's playing.
Right. Thanks. Thanks, Travis. I appreciate that. And I could have done this last 10 years or so, however long, without you. I know that. I know that. I've told you a gazillion times now. I'm not going to ever say it again. I promise.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah. Please do. Yeah, exactly. But Wednesday's the last home game. And how about if the whole thing ends up in the Final Four? How about that? That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think certainly this team is well positioned heading into, they've already played a game in March now, having beat UCF on Saturday. I think this team is well positioned to make a Final Four run. And everyone listening to this is probably going to cringe because of how it turned out. But I don't think I felt as strongly of a team's ability to go deep in a tournament about this one since the team that lost to UAB in 2015. Like, that team had a lot going for it. It was playing really good basketball. I don't think this team is playing its best basketball right now, but its floor is pretty high. And I think the ceiling that we've seen when they get things clicking, that puts them in the Final Four discussion. That's the reason they're ranked in the top 10 in the country for the last few weeks. Like, they're for real. So I do think as we head into this final week of the regular season, and then we'll head down to Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament and presumably Omaha for the first rounds of the NCAA tournament, I think you got to be feeling pretty bullish if you're an Iowa State fan, because this team has a lot of tools that you need to utilize to win games in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and Iowa State, the college basketball has evolved into being a playmaking sport. I don't want to say guard because everybody plays. It's a positionless right now. So the fact that Iowa State doesn't have a legit, I don't know, the 7-footer, I don't think that's anything to really be concerned about because the NCAA is all about matchups. I think Iowa State is, like you, Trav, I think Iowa State has positioned itself well. They haven't played their best ball as of late, like you said. Yet they've won. So I think it's a credit to Iowa State. It's a credit to the players that they've been able to push through some adversity, if that's the right word, that's cropped up in the last few games, and it certainly can pop up again on Wednesday when Iowa State entertains BYU. It certainly could. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But the thing about Iowa State is, I haven't done the math lately, but I think it's, the last I looked, it was 7 different players have led Iowa State in scoring just in the Big 12 games, which is off the charts. That's unbelievable to me that's phenomenon has happened, which, I don't need to tell people what that means as far as being an opponent trying to guard Iowa State. And also the fact that Iowa State plays such good defense. And Trav, you and I know exactly, and Iowa State fans know exactly what Iowa State's going to do on defense. If I'm an opponent, I'm sure as hell not passing the ball to anything that resembles a corner, because you know you're going to get two guys on you, or passing out on a wing. You know you're going to get two guys on you. But yet, that's where Iowa State forces the ball. That's how good they are defensively. They force the passes out there, and whatever deficiencies they've had offensively, and there haven't been that many, but there have been some. Certainly, they're making it up on the defensive end. So this team has been as fun to watch on both ends of the floor as any team I could, any Iowa State team I can remember in a long, long time. So it's just a matter of what kind of matchups they're going to get, and having the double bye, that's great because these guys are going to be tired. They could be in for a long grind. So having the double bye and opening the Big 12 tournament on Thursday is more of a feather in the cap this year. So that's kind of cool also.
Yeah, certainly still work to be done in the regular season with the season finale, regular or the home finale on Wednesday against BYU, following it up with the rematch of the videographers in Manhattan against Kansas State. Both these games this week, rematches for Iowa State in the abandoned round robin of the Big 12. And I think, Randy, it is worth mentioning. I feel like we've kind of glossed over it a little bit just because of how good Houston has been, is that Iowa State's still in this Big 12 title race. Like, obviously it's going to be really hard for them to win it outright, but a shared title seems possible. Houston has to go to Orlando on Wednesday night to play UCF. I would imagine they will win that game, but as we saw on Saturday and other times this year, that's not the easiest place to play. UCF can lock up defensively. Probably just on that tier behind Houston and Iowa State nationally and in the Big 12, but that's certainly not a gimme game. And then you've got Kansas coming to the Fertitta Center on Saturday in the regular season finale, that if Iowa State can win out, they've got a decent chance to share, I think, probably a Big 12 regular season title, which would be the first since that 2001 team accomplished it now 23 years ago under Larry Eustachy. So still quite a bit to play for beyond just seeding and Omaha for Iowa State, just in this Big 12 title race. And I think we've probably glossed over it a little bit, or not given it the due it deserves. I'm speaking for myself, I guess, here, because Omaha looms large as a large possibility, and Houston has been so good. But winning a Big 12 regular season title, shared or otherwise, has really been, beyond a Final Four or an Elite Eight, the missing piece of all the success Iowa State has had, really since its resurgence under Fred Hoiberg now 14 years ago. Like, that's the one thing, again, other than making it to that final weekend in the NCAA tournament, that they have not been able to accomplish.
It's going to be good. It's going to be fun to watch. I was trying to figure this out the other day, and not for long though. What are there any bra Where's Kansas? Where's Kansas going to finish? Because if Iowa State finishes, if Houston finishes one, Iowa State two, obviously they're in opposite brackets. Where's Kansas fit into all this? Because Kansas is going to have while we think it's going to be a home court advantage for Iowa State in Kansas City, it depends on who else is in that, and also playing. And Kansas fans are going to turn out also. So where's Kansas fit in? I haven't looked at that lately. I'm assuming I don't guess I'm not assuming anything. Just as long as Iowa State and Houston stay out of the, play each other, be in opposite brackets, that's going to be fun to watch Iowa that game on a neutral floor. And we all know that that won't be necessarily be neutral because I don't know. Maybe Kansas will bring a lot of fans, or maybe Houston will bring a lot of fans. I don't have any idea, but that's a game I really would like to see. But there's, like you said, there's a lot of stuff to happen before that.
Yeah, there's a lot of jockeying for that fourth seed in the Big 12 tournament. Obviously, Houston and Iowa State are locked in. Baylor has six losses, and then you have BYU, Kansas, and Tech all with seven, and Texas and TCU with eight. That they're probably long shots to hope to get up any further. But I mean, there's still a lot of seed and tiebreaker scenarios that are going to have to unfold to see what the bracket is like for Kansas City. But looking for the next week for the Cyclones, BYU presents an interesting game to me on Wednesday night, beyond the, the storylines of senior night going for the first undefeated home record since that 2001 title, right? That team went undefeated at
That's right.
home. They've only done that four times in team history. But beyond those kind of storyline issues, X's and O's wise, it's going to be very interesting to see, for me, to see how this plays out. BYU really took advantage of Iowa State's defense in Provo earlier this season back in January. And Iowa State's defense is predicated on protecting the paint, keeping teams out of the middle. And part of that, what comes along with that, is that you're going to have to be able to eat a pretty steady diet of 3-point shot attempts. And for the most part, that's worked out wonderfully for Iowa State. The time it really didn't was that BYU game, because BYU wants to shoot as many threes as you will allow them to. They got up 35, made 13 back in January, and pretty handily beat the Cyclones in Provo. I asked TJ Otzelberger about it this morning, and I think that they're going to be okay with BYU continuing to shoot the volume of threes that they did against the Cyclones. It seems where their issue was, they don't want to give up transition threes. I think anytime they give up a transition three, you're going to see steam rise out of TJ's head. You're not going to see him scream or yell or anything, but the blood will be boiling, because I do think that's going to be where they want to stop BYU. But to me, where I saw a lot of things go haywire for Iowa State in that game is BYU was just able to get corner three after corner three after corner three because of skip passes. Can Iowa State limit that? Will BYU be as hot as they were, back 2 months ago? That'll, to me, could be, if not where the game is won and lost, it'll be a huge determinant.
I agree with everything you said there. And plus, like you said, it's at home. I'm not any concerned about the way this team will be. They'll be jacked. It'll be a sellout as they most of them are. I want to go back to something we talked about maybe 2 weeks ago, where we were talking about what Iowa State had remaining in the season. I think maybe there were like five or six games, whatever it was. And I think we both agreed that at some point over the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of the season, from when we were talking about this, that Iowa State would lose a game somewhere along the line. Wow, what they've accomplished is I would be more surprised if they lose the game the rest, if they lose on Wednesday or if they lose on Saturday at K-State. I would be more surprised with that now. This team is just, I'm so impressed with this team and the coaching job they've done, and just watching off the court, the body language. People watch, a lot of people, most people watch the game on TV, but watch the body language during timeouts when the TV cameras aren't necessarily on the players. It's this body language that that this team has. It's wow. It's pretty cool to watch. They're all in. I mean, together they are all in, and that's impressive. That's a credit to the guys that TJ recruits, any staff recruits. It's a credit to TJ. And plus, let's face it, I mean, they've won, so they haven't really had a whole lot to get weird about. So that all that stuff has impressed me. So which makes so I would be, like I said, I think Iowa State can win these last two games. And you brought up the thing about at Kansas State about the video thing. I hope that becomes an issue. I hope Kansas State fans do something. I don't suspect they will, because I suspect that Kansas State fans can see through everything that happened a couple or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, that was such a ludicrous accusation that it's almost embarrassing for them to even bring it up again. And so I sure that could be an issue, but I doubt if it will be. And I'm not certain that Kansas State's going to be that intimidating to play. It never seems that intimidating to play when when I've covered games there, I know that sometimes Iowa State struggles, but nonetheless, I don't think it's that intimidating. So, and then we go boom right into the conference tournament the following week. So, a lot of good times to be an Iowa State basketball fan.
Yeah, to go back to what you were saying about what the staff has accomplished, I think what Connecticut is doing at 26-3, winning the Big East, after winning the national title last year and losing some big pieces, Danny Hurley might be tough to beat as a national coach of the year. I think Kelvin Sampson being 26-3, even with the expectations that they had, the success that they've had, moving to a new league and continuing to be a national title contender right off the bat is going to garner or should garner national coach of the year attention. I know Lamont Paris at South Carolina has gotten some love for that, and like all those guys have done great jobs, but certainly what TJ Otzelberger has done with a again, and I've said this and I don't mean it to be an insulting, even though I'm sure it'll come off as a that way, like this is a talent wise is a pedestrian roster in terms of high-end NBA talent or even All-American talent. Like there's not an All-American on this team, right? Like I don't think there's a single guy you would even talk about as being an All-American. And here they are, undoubtedly one of the 6, 8, or 10 best teams in the country, have a chance to win a Big 12 title, have a chance to make a Final Four, and are doing it again with what was supposed to be a rebuilding, a resetting year where Iowa State was going to get younger. Not only like they didn't really get younger, the guy that they thought was going to be the star of the recruiting class doesn't play. They are getting contributions from guys that were spending time at, UNLV and Buffalo and Wofford a year ago. Damarian Watson, like, barely played as a freshman, barely played this year, kept everybody bought in. The reason Iowa State is having success this year is because the players have shown up and gotten the job done. But certainly the coaching staff and TJ Otzelberger first among them deserves an incredible amount of credit for this, everything that they have implemented and everything that they've accomplished so far this season, to where I don't know if he's a national coach of the year, but I have a hard time believing there's, three guys with a better argument to that distinction this year than TJ. And I think if they are able to win a Big 12 title, that's going to increase that argument, obviously, and whatever happens after that will take place after voting. But man, they have done an incredible job this year. With however, whatever comes next, they have done an incredible job this year.
Excuse me. I started looking at my all Big 12 ballot, the other day, and I didn't have any problem. I won't have any problem voting for TJ for Coach of the Year. But if you've got one spot on the first team for an Iowa State player, who are you voting for? Keyshawn or Tamen? I mean, that's the kind of balance this team and yep, it makes me think. It makes me wonder. That's the kind of balance that this team has had. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but I can't even pick which player is the best player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like to go back to some of, I talked about that 2015 team for Iowa State. To go back even further, we were having this discussion because Melvin Edgen's name came up. Like that 2014 team, I thought DeAndre Kane was their All-American. Melvin Edgen, I thought, should be and obviously was the Big 12 Player of the Year. And I thought George Niang was the most important player on that team. And I think this team, while I wouldn't make an argument for anybody as Big 12 Player of the Year or All-American, I do think there are a number of guys that you can point to of being critical because of how well the pieces fit together and work together, more importantly, that it's hard to isolate anything as the most important or because they're all so critical to making the entire operation work. And again, that's a credit to the players, certainly, and to the entire coaching staff for, bringing those pieces together, having a vision of how it all looks, and then for making it happen. So a lot of basketball still to be played, but certainly Iowa State, one of the biggest surprises, biggest storylines in college basketball this year, with a chance over the next week to potentially win a Big 12 title and with even more on the table. When we come back, we're going to talk to our colleague Tommy Birch about the Iowa State women's basketball team who begins play in the Big 12 tournament on Saturday. when the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register continues on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. Welcome back to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. We're back after talking mostly men's basketball in the opener. If you missed any of that segment, be sure to check out the podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Going to now look towards Kansas City a week ahead of the men's tournament when the women will play at the T-Mobile Arena Center, Sprint Center, whatever it's called now, for the first time with this reconfigured tournament schedule in Kansas City. Tommy Burch will be there for the Register. He's here with us now to talk Bill Fennelly's Iowa State women's basketball team. Tommy, what's up?
Not much. How about you? I mean, first things first, like, am I the only one who thinks it's just incredibly weird that we're going back-to-back weeks with this tournament, having women first, men first, men second?
Dude, I thought it all along. And I was blaming your mark until I found out it wasn't your mark. This was going to happen before the showman took over the conference.
Yeah, my actual understanding is that all the Big 12 coaches, except for Iowa State, voted for this to happen, to switch arenas and then bump it to where it's the women first and the men first second. So, you know, when it comes to this tournament, it's going to be really interesting to see what attendance is like, because typically, no matter what, Iowa State is a big draw, and there are so many Cyclone fans that come down for the men's tournament, do the women's tournament as well. But now you're asking people to essentially take 2 weeks off if they want to do both tournaments. So that's going to be really interesting to follow throughout the week to see what the attendance is like.
When do they play when, Tommy? Saturday?
I would say women tip on Saturday at 11 a.m.
Okay, and we don't know who, against whom.
Yeah, it's likely going to be Baylor. And realistically, you look at any of these matchups, to me, there are only two teams in the Big 12 that, you know, would make me nervous if I were Iowa State from a stylistic point of view. It's Texas and their toughness, and then Oklahoma and their size and skill set. But Oklahoma is a team that I think on a given day Iowa State could beat, but Texas, like, that's a truly tough matchup any day of the week that Iowa State would play. But kind of the way the tournament works out now, where you're going to have the quarterfinals on Saturday, a day off Sunday, and the semifinals Monday, and then the finals on Tuesday, that could really benefit Iowa State and their young team that's, you know, as we know, we've talked about a ton full of freshmen that, you know, are playing deeper and longer into the season than they've ever played before. So a day off could be extremely beneficial for Iowa State.
Tommy, I got one more. What's Emily Ryan coming back mean for the team?
I mean, if anything, it's well, one, oh, coming back for next year. Well,
coming back for next year.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for Iowa State having just more depth, more experience. I mean, they're going to be an extremely talented and more experienced team next year, because always five freshmen have played vital roles for Iowa State. So having her leadership, having her experience, and then I think we just tend to forget, like, the overall skill set that she has as a phenomenal passer, a tremendous facilitator, and a strong scorer when she needs to be. Is something that you want to have on the court as long as possible. Ariana Jackson has played tremendously while as a true freshman, filling in for her at the start of the year, but that at least gives her some more time to learn and really gives Iowa State a good opportunity to have a deeper bench and more options to kind of play with. You can never have too many ball handlers.
Just a month ago, it looked like the NCAA tournament was going to slip through the grasp of this team, and now it seems like they're well positioned after a surge to end the year. What is it at stake for them in Kansas City in terms of what it can do to their tournament future?
Seeding, but I really don't think it's going to have too much of an impact outside of, like, winning the Big 12 championship. You'd obviously see Iowa State get bumped up a couple of spots, but we aren't looking at a situation where Iowa State can play its way into hosting, if anything, maybe a better destination than going out to Stanford or going out to Los Angeles or something like that. The good thing is, with the way Iowa State ended the regular season, the resume that they compiled, that's gotten them into the tournament and provided a little wiggle room for them where they could lay an egg, lose in the first round of the tournament, and they're still going to be in the NCAA tournament.
The Iowa State women get a double bye in the Big 12 tournament. Will tip off at 11 a.m. in Kansas City against any of three possible opponents. Tommy will be in the barbecue capital of the Midwest. Unfortunately, not eating any of it because he's insane. But be sure to
That's
check
so
out
wrong. Tom,
the.
I've seen Tommy eat barbecue, but anyway, go ahead.
Not much.
This is the Des Moines Register Cyclone Insider Radio Hour on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Be sure to check out the podcast if you missed anything. Otherwise, check out DesMoinesRegister.com for plenty of hoops coverage over the next month. For Tommy, Randy, I'm Travis. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.